Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Singer, songwriter Pamela Flores makes personal, impassioned, soulful music. Born and raised in the Garden State, Pamela is a Jersey girl through and through. She credits her parents for passing their love of music on to her. Growing up, Pamela says she found comfort, solace, and a way to express herself through song. Pamela, who has a background in nonprofit work, happens to be the co-founder of Lake House Voices, which partners with young people to bring music to area senior centers. And through the nonprofit network Glass Fox, based in Asbury Park, Pamela and other dedicated, committed volunteers sponsor events to raise money and awareness for local and national charities. But that's not the end of her social commitment. Earlier this year, Pamela and others staged a benefit concert in Asbury Park to raise money for the Joyful Heart Foundation. Its mission, a very personal one for Pamela, is to change the way we respond to sexual assault, domestic violence, and child abuse through healing, education, and advocacy. Started by Law and Order actress Mariska Hargitay, the Joyful Heart Foundation has raised more than $32 million since its inception in 2004. Pamela, welcome and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about music and the Flores home. Talk to me about how you and music got together.
So growing up, music was always being played in my house. My parents aren't musicians, but they have so much love for music. So my brother and I would actually laugh because every Sunday morning we'd wake up at 7-8 o'clock in the morning to the Beatles being played nice and loudly in our house. And that's how my parents woke us up.
That's their alarm clock.
Yes, that was their alarm clock for us. Their love for music just passed through my brother and myself. My mom, she did play a bit of guitar when I was younger. And I just remember sitting in our living room and she would be playing guitar and she'd just have me sing and she'd just play just old Chilean folk songs. My parents are from Chile. Mm-hmm. So that would always be in my house. And then they'd always have classic rock playing. And, you know, my brother and I, we grew up in the 90s. So we'd listen to a lot of hip hop and R&B and there's just constant music.
So it was really eclectic.
Yeah.
When did it become more of a professional or check out more seriousness for you?
I've always known since I was very young that this was something I wanted to pursue. I didn't know that singing was something that was considered a talent. I thought everybody was able to sing. I thought that was just
Everybody does sing. Yeah, it doesn't mean you want to listen to them.
Exactly. Very true. But when I started realizing that, you know, this is kind of an outlet for myself and just for people in general, I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else. I knew that if I wanted to express myself or if I wanted to be heard, I need to follow this passion.
It sounds to me that music on some level was a solitary kind of personal thing for
yes.
you as opposed to, let's say, joining the school chorus or whatever, or acting in the school musical. Did you do that?
I did take vocal lessons from the age of 12, mm-hmm. and that kind of helped me. Very much. Before that, I didn't really want to sing in front of people. I was actually really
shy
about it. Yeah. Uh-huh. My brother would actually used to make fun of me when I was a kid. He would tell me anytime I sang, he's like, why do you look so like into it and passionate about it? And I'd always would just sing. And that just, you know, something that always came out of me was, you know, the passion. And even if I didn't write it and if it was somebody else's music, I felt it. Even at that young age, I felt the feeling of that song.
Were you taught how to write music?
No, I started actually writing poetry when I was very young. A lot of it started around the age of 12, 13. I loved writing of all forms. I used to write screenplays when I was a kid that would star the Power Rangers. and then I would just start writing poetry. Anytime that we had any assignment for school that had to do with poetry or with
So these were natural acts for you.
Yeah. As I got older, it was actually poetry that I turned to when I was going through my major depression and when I was going through all the negative effects of high school and just growing up in general.
Was there any kind of a seminal moment or was just teenage angst?
I think definitely teenage angst as well. Despite me being a very sensitive person mm-hmm, in general, mm-hmm. and I think I was a very sensitive child. Mm-hmm. You know, there were just certain things that did affect me that
okay.
I needed to write
work
about.
Out.
Yeah, And
is that what I meant when I said comfort, solace, and a way to express yourself? Did you feel kind of alone?
Oh, yeah. I think just at that age in general,
it's tough.
It's tough. And even with students that I witness now and over at Lake House Music Academy that I teach at, I always, you know, kind of zone in on the teens who seem to isolate themselves, or, you know, I always talk to them, and I talk to them about that I understand that if they don't feel that they belong in their school, or that they are not getting along, or not really can't really figure themselves out, mm-hmm. that, you know, I was there as well, as many of us were.
But we're not talking about bullying, are we?
There was definitely bullying.
You felt bullied?
In a different sense, yeah. I wasn't necessarily bullied like many other children were. It was more so just attention that I did not want. Yeah. Because of the fact that I was getting lots of unwanted attention because I was developing earlier than many other girls, I would get constantly harassed by my classmates. Boys, girls would start talking about me. I've had to just push it back to eighth grade, I had this one boy who I liked, and he told me, you know, his stepbrother said, yeah, he likes you too, and he wants, you know, to be your boyfriend. Well, a couple of days later, this person ended up sending me an email, because AOL was a thing back then, sent me a message on AOL telling me that he doesn't want to be my boyfriend anymore because he found a girl, and in quotes, I'll never forget this, a girl with bigger tits.
Oh, geez.
And then he continued to send me photos of porn stars.
Uh-huh.
And it just made me feel terrible. I'll never forget that. And then when I was 14, freshman year, I was at a football game, and a bunch of boys, I can't really recall who they were for many reasons,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was a group of boys, pretty sure a bunch of them were on the freshman football team, crowded me, pushed me down, and just started grabbing me.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God.
At the age of 14, where I had just kissed a boy, and that was...
And this was in a public space?
This was in a public space. It was right underneath the scoreboard on the hill that kind of everybody, you know, hung out
and
at.
And there, oh my God.
And the ones who did something about it, who kind of were there for me, was the one boy who, he's still a great friend of mine, who was my first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there, and my best friend literally just gave me her coat and just hugged me, and I just started shaking and crying and felt very just not great. And again, I didn't say anything about it because I thought it was kind of happening to everybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that it was mm-hmm. a special case. But the effects of it affected me so much.
Powerfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just throughout high school, it was just constant, you know. Going down the hallway, somebody would, you know, yell something out. And then finally, because of my parents, they just, my depression was getting severe. And because academically, I wasn't doing very well at all. I didn't want to go to school. I had terrible social anxiety. Just walking into, even now, sometimes if I go into a crowded area, I get very, very anxious. We had a meeting with the school board, and I told them, but I told them that it wasn't kids from the school because I was
mm-hmm.
afraid of what would happen because I didn't want people to pick
fallout.
On me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so for years, I convinced myself and convinced everybody else that there was boys from a different town, which I don't even think this town even played that night, but it was a close town, and it was a town that the football team was one of the rivals. So I pinned it on them, but again, nothing happened. You know, I didn't pursue any charges or anything because I couldn't name any names. I couldn't tell them who exactly it was.
But you went to school with these boys.
But I went
you
to
saw
school
them
with
every
these
day.
Boys. I saw them every day.
Wow. Did you go on to college?
I did.
And study music?
Yeah, I actually came to school, I knew right away that I did not want to stay in New Jersey, or more specifically, nothing against New Jersey.
I'm a Jersey girl too, so, but I'm not taking it personally.
But I just knew, you know, the second I turned 18, I wanted to be out of here. Mm-hmm. So I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy here in New York. And I studied musical theater, which was
weird. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I did musical theater senior year, and that was it. But I just needed some way to get out of there, and I didn't know any other route. And I loved it, and I think it was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot.
So it was a great match for you, and it came at the right time.
Exactly.
And then you sort of, was it from there that you started to hone your craft?
Yeah. Again, you know, I think just from all the self-doubt from high school did definitely carry over to college, but I found kind of more of my place,
I get
you know,
it. Mm-hmm.
where people wanted to continue pursuing their passions. And that was something that I admire in so many people, is if they are passionate about something and they really follow through with it, that is such a wonderful thing. And I found that, and I realized, okay, if I start singing, people aren't going to necessarily judge me or be like, why is she singing? Because we're all singing. We're all, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because what did you think, that you would just write songs for me to sing?
I have thought of that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. As opposed to you being in the center.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because I would imagine that what you were writing was extremely personal.
Very personal. Yes.
So you get through school, mm-hmm. and you graduate. And then did you not embark on a musical career? Because as I mentioned, you're involved in nonprofit work.
Yeah, I tried. I did try. I went to many auditions, many open calls, and I would get lots of great feedback. But when I would look around in the audition room, I would see these people who had this passion for musical theater.
And that's what you were auditioning for.
And that's
but being
I was
on the stage that you didn't necessarily know you wanted to be on.
Exactly, yes. So I felt not like a fraud, but that I was kind of pursuing something that wasn't, it was going on the right track, but then I kind of made like a left turn there.
It really wasn't the right fit.
Yeah. And I love musical theater. I think it is wonderful, but it is not
you.
Where, exactly. So after that, I was living in New York for 5 years or so, 5-6 years, and personal things happened. I ended up getting sick just very randomly. And I ended up having to move back to New Jersey for a couple of months because I couldn't afford to live here. And my parents, they saw how distraught I was. So they said, why don't you just go live in Chile for a couple of months?
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I had gone through a really bad breakup here, and it was just the perfect timing.
And so there was still family there.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom is actually, she's the only one in her family who live here. My dad and his brothers and sisters, my grandparents, they all moved here. So I went to go live in Chile for a little bit. And I think that right there was when I really figured out, oh, okay, I think I'm starting to finally figure myself out, you know, instead of trying to fit into whatever I thought I needed to be. I started singing more over there instead of doing musical theater. I learned how to surf. It's just very, you know, things that I've always wanted to do that I never actually pushed myself.
There was a different kind of freedom, I bet, and an experimentation.
Yeah.
Is that when you found your voice?
I think that's kind of when I found myself. I think I kind of started finding my voice when I moved to New York. I really, truly felt that this was kind of a place where I belonged a bit more. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting harassed.
Mm. You blended in. You didn't stick out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I blended in because the majority of the guys didn't really care what I looked like. Mm-hmm. They weren't mm-hmm. interested in me. And then, you know, just living in New York and everything, it just felt good. It felt like I was on the right track, but I didn't feel like I was there yet. I didn't feel like this was home, even though I wanted it to be so badly. And then when I moved to Chile, that's kind of where I found really, kind of allowed myself to do the things that I wanted to do, to kind of not have anything be held over me and do the things that I've always wanted to do.
When did you start to really make music?
So when I moved back home from Chile,
how old?
23. I started taking, you know, everything that I loved about poetry and putting into music. I actually did not really know how to play guitar mm-hmm. or piano. Mm-hmm. I just always sang. And when I came here, I knew I did not want to pursue musical theater anymore. If I'm going to move back to the States, I need to really put myself in music. And so that's when I did. I decided after another breakup to move down to Asbury Park, and that was it for me. I started writing and I started really learning how to play guitar. That's kind of what has been my main instrument, and it just kind of just would flow out of me. And I always felt, you know, I'm a bit older than most people are around me who are pursuing music as well. So anything I write, I need to make sure it's not just anything. It needs to be something. It needs to really be something that I feel. And so far, it's gotten great feedback. And in the end, what I want to do with my music, and that's something I've also have been struggling with, was writing music that I feel that people can relate to, that people can say, oh, yes. And then I realized I can't just do that. I need to write from my own experiences. And then people end up feeling that anyways. People feel a connection to it in their own way, which is really nice.
That's a nice segue, because I sampled some of your songs.
Oh.
And in one of the selections, Burn the Ship, I wrote down some of the lyrics. In my home, you'll be saved, but I'm drowning in your life. Catch my breath because I'm telling you goodbye. So what are you singing about out of both sides of your mouth?
The idea of that song actually came from an ex-boyfriend's side band project. He started a band that was called Burn the Ships. And the song is not necessarily about him, but just the idea of it and just feeling that because of everything in my past, it is very hard for me to kind of trust. And especially when people are actually lying to me, it kind of really sucks. Yeah, so that song is kind of more my angstier side coming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I tend to, that particular song and that line, in my home, you'll be saved, is in reference to their doubts and their negative parts of their life that might be affecting why they are acting this way in a relationship, that it is okay, because I understand that. And in my home, it is fine.
Here's some more lines. You are my best friend, the one I could hold on to. Mr. Wonderful, he's so incredible. And then there is, wouldn't believe how mean he could be, but I can't let him go. Different man with the same face, but he hurt me every time. Mr. Wonderful, he's so incredible. He wanted the fame, but Mr. Wonderful walked away. Wow. What a contrast here. What happened to Mr. Wonderful?
And Mr. Wonderful is the reason why I moved back to New Jersey, actually, from Chile. And he really is a wonderful person. However, because of all of his personal stuff, he acts out on them. And it was a very passionate person, wanted to, and still is, you know, very much passionate about his work and pursues his goals very much. And he, you know, at times just wasn't, on paper, he seemed like he would be the most wonderful person and that he would be the one.
And so when you write music, is that your way of confronting that person?
I think so.
Without actually doing so.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's been a few times where I would, you know, not so subtly send him the songs. Be like, you should listen to this. But
because the music is, like I said, is very powerfully impassioned. I mean, you're not singing simply Moon, June, and Croon, are you? I mean, this is heavy stuff.
It is. It's a very, very vulnerable process. Very vulnerable. I mean, Mr. Wonderful took me about 4 years to finish writing, because it was, anytime I'd go back to it, I just couldn't put myself in that place until I finally was able to finish writing it, because it was such a, it's just vulnerable. Just writing in itself, it's kind of, you know, it makes me feel kind of naked in a way, you know, where people can kind of just nip and pick and, you know, and just kind of handle it in a way that I wouldn't want them to.
So you've made your music personal but also public. Yeah. You know, as I was talking about in terms of the Joyful Heart Foundation.
Yes.
Getting up on that stage and making a point, which many people do, obviously, mm-hmm. with their music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is a cause for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It took me a long time to speak about my experience. The fact that I talk about it so freely now is something I never thought I would ever do. I
sure.
thought it was just something that would kind of be
buried in the past.
Buried in the past, exactly. When the whole Brock Turner story started popping up, and
that's a Stanford swimmer who
yeah.
Sexually assaulted
yeah.
another student, and
yes.
he insisted it was consensual sex.
Yes, and the things that were said by his father, that Brock Turner himself
was
saying,
a victim.
Yeah, he was, and just how everybody was kind of victimizing him in a way, and saying,
right.
"Well, now he's not going to be able to
swim,
be this
anymore.
Amazing
yeah.
athlete."
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in my head, I'm thinking, "Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just did something that's going to affect this girl for the rest of her life, because it affected me. You know, I think that as a society, we expect so much from males that they need to be seen as manly, and they do things that they believe might make them seem manly, and
mm-hmm.
it's just completely obviously wrong.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't feel any shame about it, the fact that he was writing, you know, that he lost all of this for 20 minutes
right.
of action is just, that's what got to me. And the fact that people were having debates about it. You know, I realize that a lot of these people who I'm seeing on my Facebook and social media talking about it and kind of not really siding on either, but not really saying, yeah, no, what he did was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that was the spark that said, we've got to do something on
yes.
in a much more public way.
Exactly.
So you organized this benefit concert.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Asbury Park, you know, everybody knows Asbury Park. Thank
yeah.
you. The boss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It took me a long time to decide that, yes, I wanted to do it. I spoke to my roommates and my friends who knew about what had happened to me. And I decided just one morning, you know what, I'm going to write and speak about my story. And the response that I got from me publicly speaking about my experience was overwhelming. I mean, people would tell me their experiences. And in the beginning, I wanted this to be geared towards women. The amount of men that actually reached out to me,
huh.
who told me their stories and their experiences was
uh-huh.
was just as heartbreaking. And that's when I realized, okay, I need to find something that's not just geared towards women. You know, I this is much bigger than myself. This is much bigger than my story. I am happy to talk about it, to allow others to talk about it.
Open the door.
To open the door, exactly. And I had guest speakers at my Joyful Heart Foundation benefit, and their stories were heartbreaking, very heartbreaking, and everybody in that venue was just silent.
So you were able to marry music with a social
yes.
cause, which is pretty powerful, because
yeah.
that can speak volumes. What have you learned from that? I mean, before you answer it, in my paper, The Record, there was a headline that said 8 Jersey bands you need to hear in 2017, and yours is one of them. Is that almost like a validation for you now?
It's funny you say the mission thing, because I do actually feel like I'm on a mission now. I do feel like this,
that your music can help
that my
inspire
music,
and heal.
Exactly. Yeah. That I can actually make a difference more than just putting on shows volunteering or putting on events for different charities.
Mm-hmm.
That I can actually have people speak on their experiences or just feel that they are not alone. And that is such a big deal for me, is I do not want people to feel that they are alone. And finding these causes that just go with what I want to do is it makes me realize for myself that all these years I wasn't alone, and I want to continue that. If some way, somehow, whether it be through my music or through putting on these shows, if there is somebody out there who can finally say, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this, I need to seek help and I need to seek others who can understand what I went through and just not feel that there's to understand and realize that there is a light at the end of that dark tunnel.
So where are you going? Is music is your livelihood?
Music is definitely my livelihood.
I mean, in addition to your nonprofit work?
Yes.
You're still doing Lakehouse Voices.
Lakehouse Voices, yeah.
And Glass Fox?
Yes.
So you're able to do both. Are you on tour?
I'm actually going to be recording my second EP, hopefully at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall. And I want to continue doing my music.
You have your own band?
I have my own band, yeah. And I want to continue pushing these shows. I don't put myself on the bills for these shows. I did for the last one because of friends and family asking me to be on it. But it's not about me anymore. The shows and the benefits, I don't want it to be me pushing my music. I want to be able to separate them when needed.
But your music remains and obviously will continue to be very personal,
yes.
Correct? It has to resonate with you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About what you write.
Oh, yes.
And so for the most part, you do write your own music.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end with one of your songs. And why don't we say goodbye to Pamela Flores through Mr. Wonderful and have a sampling of some of your beautiful music and some of your most impactful music. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Pamela. It's quite a story, and you were very open and honest, and that's just what's so great. Thanks, and much continued success to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.
There was a time when I said I knew you. You were my best friend. You were so damn beautiful. Shoulder and your smile was too crude talk, but you love me good. Oh, Mr. Wonderful, he's so incredible. But you wouldn't believe how mean he could be. I can't let him go. Held back from the truth, so we lied. In bed together we cried. A different man with the same face, but he hurt me every time. He had your name, but the dreams didn't stay. Couldn't pass the time. Showed up, but I tell you I'm fine. Hold me closer now. Hold me closer now. Kiss me deep, make my heart feel heavy. Turn it down, you know you'd never let me. So come on, just say it. Cut me deep, let my heart hit the pavement.